Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Credit to our production department. Although they make us out to be wild men, Dukes and Bell out on the town. I'm like, yeah.
We're having
a good time, man. This is the fun show. This is the show you want to come hang out with, and we'd love to see you guys at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw.
Yeah.
Coming up at 3:20, our man Jarvis Davis, he used to work with us. He is a football insider, does stuff for various networks now, and he's at the Senior Bowl, was this week, covering it, and we're going to talk to him about what he saw at the Senior Bowl.
He was right there. I mean, the only thing they didn't do is basically do a chalk outline or put police tape around that offensive lineman from Oregon, Connerly, when Mike Green from Marshall, pow, just blew him up. And, of course, that meme went viral. And literally Jarvis is looking at it right there because as a former lineman for Albany State, he's always watching the big dogs inside.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's part of what we want to assess. D-line, edge, linebackers. That's where I'm at. And if you want to throw corners in there, great, because I want to see that too. But with limited picks, Mike, you got to prioritize, at least right now. I'm hoping we add some, but it is what it is until we find out, you know, what they're going to do. But, yeah, Jarvis is going to join us here coming up in about 15 minutes, so stay tuned for that. Hey, we're hanging out at Twin Peaks, man. Also, yeah, man, No Man's on the way. We'll talk to Steve Coonan as the Hawks' free fall continues. But I think we are more upset today, despite the losses. We're going through it because of these injuries, that Trae Young doesn't make the All-Star game. We'll talk to Steve Coonan, Hawks CEO, about that in the 4 o'clock hour as well. Right now, though, let's talk some NFL with our 4th-and-1.
Yeah, man, one of the guys who's definitely got a career, and he's right in the prime of his career, but he's certainly got a career after football. That's Micah Parsons.
Yes, he does.
He has not met a microphone he doesn't like. He usually has something interesting to say. He's also got his podcast, and his latest guest on that podcast was one Bijan Robinson. So you can check it out, guys. It's The Edge with Micah Parsons. You want to see what Bijan had to say. One of the things that came up in this clip that we've got back at the ranch with Oren is they're asking about Michael Penix Jr., and the question is, does Michael Penix Jr. ever take that do-rag off? Take a listen.
When I tell you this man doesn't take off his do-rag, he does not take it off. Bro, I'm telling you, like, I don't be looking or nothing. But, you know, we were going into the sauna, and you know, you usually take it off, bro, because that's, you don't want your hair to like smell or none of that. Bro was just in the sauna, bro, just
do-rag on.
The do-rag on.
Like, that's a mental illness.
I was like, Mike, bro, like, you got to take it off at some point. I mean, how many do-rags are we gonna use in a week?
How many do-rags he got?
A lot. Every color, bro. Like, come with a purple do-rag one day.
So red one. Whatever do-rag he wear to work, he not taking it off before practice, after practice.
Man, heck no.
Sauna, shower. He
ain't taking it off. He's not seeing Mike taking off that do-rag.
the quarterback Atlanta needs, Carl.
I love it.
Michael Penix Jr.
You got to take him off every now and then.
That's too damn funny. I love how Bijan wanted to be clear. I'll be looking. I ain't checking that out. I'm just saying. We going in the sun as grown men, and I'm looking, and I'm saying he got a do-rag.
I mean, that's literally like Slash. Like, Carl, you're hanging out with Guns N' Roses, right? And you go in the sauna, and Slash is wearing the top hat. So Michael Penix Jr. never takes off his do-rag. Okay.
It is. That's great. You know what? And it's funny because we've seen him in press conferences, right? We got limited Michael Penix, and rightfully so. It was Kirk Cousins' team until it wasn't. And then when it became Michael Penix's team, he was the guy in front of the cameras and in front of the media and speaking to us. And so for those 3 weeks, Mike, that we got him, you know, he's doing press conferences with durag. And I said, my quarterback has a durag. I'm good.
You know, making fun.
Thank you, B. I'm good, but like making fun of the fact, like he doesn't give two blanks about what you think. This is who I am.
Right.
This is who I'm going to be. And look. We're going to go win, and I'm cool with that. But that is very funny from Bijan
And when
Robinson.
We start winning, hopefully we're going to be winning at a great clip next year, him getting a full season under his belt, somebody knows how to do that. We will do the do-rag like LeBron, have a cool hanging out of his lip with the do-rag, and we'll be ready to roll. Can't wait for this this summer, man.
I don't be looking or nothing.
Clarity.
Yeah. A couple of guys hit us up yesterday. We have a conversation just sidebar about how we're going to go all defense. Guy hit me up, and he said, are we going to go all defense in this draft? Well, I mean, we did go a lot of defense last year, you know, other than Michael Penix Jr., of course, with the first overall pick. I think, yeah, you could take a flyer on a wide receiver late. But remember, guys, we don't have the luxury of all these picks to be cute with. You got a first, a second, a fourth, and a seventh, you know? So, I mean, do we have a sixth this year, Chris? But we don't have a third. We don't have a fifth.
Right.
So it's just, you know, if you wanted to take a flyer, I just think you got to get impact edge rush, impact starting corner, and hope there's a corner in that second round that you didn't take last year.
Let me ask this.
Or vice versa. You know, they might shock us and go corner in the first round.
No doubt.
If all the premier edge rushers.
And
if it was
the way,
like the year we took Evan Cady, there was a second level of edge rushers.
And I'd be fine with that. If you're telling me you're going to go at 15 and get the potential best corner in this draft, again, don't know how this shakes out. This, by the way, from the folks I've already talked to, defensive draft. This is a defensive draft. We should be able to get some really good defensive pieces in between the first and, you know, third, fourth round. But, Mike, let me ask you this. When you talk about, are we going to draft all defense? As a Falcon fan, would it matter if all of our picks, hypothetically, were all defense? Would you care? I wouldn't.
No. I mean, look, you get Braylon Trice healthy, that's almost like a free agent. If you get Troy Anderson, that's like a friggin' free agent. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a big if because he hasn't shown the ability to stay on the field. When he does, he pops. But those two guys are literally like FAs, and then everything else. I mean, because if you go corner in the first round and don't hit on that edge rusher, I mean, Ebukadi is getting better each year, and maybe this year, I just think to get Ebukadi to that next level, you need to get a stud in the first round. That's, I mean, again, only time will tell how the combine, everything else plays out, who's going to be where.
All right, Big O, you know, the Bills have been talking about the referees a lot. Matter of fact, their head coach came out and said, I told the guys, you know, we're not going to get calls. I want you to hear James Cook. And then I want you to hear Brandon Bean talking about the failed fourth down play for the Bills. And guys, whether we believe it or not, you got guys that are on NFL teams who are believing this stuff, Mike.
It's out there.
So James Cook first about the refs. Let me hear him.
At the end of the day, bro, like, as a man, bro, like, you got to come in there and ready to go. That ref, like, you feel me? Like, straight up, like, you got to come in there ready to go, ready to play, and, like, once you get one, you ain't got, don't get a ref, no, nothing to call.
Well, don't put yourself in a position where the ref's going to matter
That's
or make
right.
the difference. Look, the one thing we can debate about was Josh Allen over the line on that first fourth down or not. The Xavier Worthy call made no sense by any metric.
I thought they blew that.
That's just not a catch.
I thought they blew that.
I mean, you want to call holding, defensive holding, fine, but you can't call it a catch. That's one that if I'm upset. By the way, if I'm James Cook, I'm more upset about Joe Brady than any referee because they forgot about you with the game on the line.
Yep.
You know, James Cook, I know he was nursing an ankle injury, but that guy made – I know I ranted about that after the game, but, Carl, he made plays every time he touched it.
So this is Brandon Bean, the general manager of the Bills, choosing his words very carefully, talking about Josh Allen converting that fourth down that they say he didn't get. There are two cuts here I want you to hear. First on the fourth down, and then he says, I'm not telling you we lost the game because of it. Well, if you're not, then why address it? Here's the general manager of the Bills.
If you're talking about like the fourth down play, that was, you know, I feel like he got that. And I still feel like he got that. I felt that in the moment, and nothing has changed my mind on that.
Well, as we said, put a bunch of chips on the ends of the football. There's one chip on the opposite end of where you put the air in a football.
Make it easy.
And then we'll use a laser. Let's get some lasers, Carl, and we can upgrade how we're doing it. It does seem a bit anachronistic that we got a couple of dudes grabbing some chains to decide football games at millions and billions of dollars getting bet on. So, hey, talk to the competition committee, I guess.
Here's Brandon Bean talking about, although I don't feel like that was the right call, it's not why we lost the game.
It is what it is. I mean, those are just like plays we didn't make in a game, too. So by no means are we saying that's why we lost the game.
Okay. And by the way, all these guys are speaking out on it. Sean McDermott even talked about it. It's Dukes and Bell with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of course, our 4th and 1 segment brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Meanwhile, as we talk about all the coaching hires, Mike, Brian Schottenheimer. This apparently is how this went down. More and more information is coming out about the process. So this is Stephen Jones. Daddy!
Daddy, my hat came off. Too bad your head wasn't in it.
The more we met, the more we wanted to meet. I think that was helping.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy 5 and get 5 free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Us come to a conclusion on what the decision should be. Talking about meeting with Brian Schottenheimer. Now, understand, Falcon fans and NFL fans, this dude's been in the building.
Yeah,
he's got an office. Yeah. You've not met with him?
Well, maybe they didn't really talk too much because he wasn't calling the freaking plays. He was glorified quarterbacks coach.
The continuity, Stephen Jones, through change. I mean, I know the players. I know the building. I know our strengths. I know our weaknesses. I know our issues. And the more we got into conversations with Brian Schottenheimer, sitting around and just discussing different things, I wanted it even more. That's what Stephen Jones said.
The most
said.
Underwhelming Georgia offensive coordinator since it actually predates Chaney.
It does.
But my God, I mean, I get it. Schottenheimer was not calling the plays. We discussed this the other day. Everybody knows it. You can't get Dak over the finish line in the playoffs. So instead of getting somebody like Ben Johnson or appealing to Cliff Kingsbury to come in and fix it, nobody wants to deal with that 3-ring circus with Jerry Jones.
Nobody.
You're a puppet. You know, Jerry runs the show. You're always going to – he'll hit or miss on personnel like some guys. But it just seems like, Carl, you needed Ben Johnson to come in there and take those weapons that you got big money invested in and fix it.
Yeah.
And if you go draft a running back that you hit on early, knock it out. It's not that complicated. But to bring in a guy who is part of the same problem and make him the head coach, what do you expect? That's the definition of insanity.
I'm your puppet. Yeah, I don't get it. Either way, that's what they said happened.
We spoke with Steve Spurrier, who said he was a real competitor as quarterback in Gainesville.
What was the line? I forget who said it. It was one of the guys who covers the Cowboys in Dallas, and he said, ironic that the Cowboys would ask Spurrier about Schottenheimer in the mid-90s, the last time the Cowboys were relevant.
That's true. It's true. They haven't been. Either way, he's got the job, and we'll see. They're hiring his staff. You notice I said they are, not him. Right. His staff, and we'll see what that ultimately looks like. Coming up, we're going to talk to Jarvis Davis. What happened at the Senior Bowl this week? Who impressed? Who didn't? Find out next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are going to talk to our man Steve Koonin, but before that, we're going to get a chance to talk to Michael Money Harris, the center fielder for our Atlanta Braves, at 4:20 today. Looking forward to that as
well,
spring training is right around the corner.
His do-rag off in the sauna.
Well,
his bandana.
He's got all the looks, man, and those are hot, by the way. People across the country are buying those bandanas. Mike started something.
Right.
So we'll talk to him at 4:20 and find out how he's doing. But right now, let's talk to our man Jarvis Davis. Football insider. He does stuff for various networks. He's got his own podcast, and he's been at the Senior Bowl. He's worked with us here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as well. And Jarvis, man, appreciate you jumping on with us. Know you were down there at the Senior Bowl this week watching the big boys go at it. Mike and I spent a lot of time talking about these edge guys, and I just want to get your take on a guy that stole the show, and that's Mike Green from Marshall. Tell us what you saw, and why do you think he was so impressive?
To be honest with you, he was a guy that I was kind of waiting to get my eyes on in person because, you know, it's one thing to watch film and watch tape on a guy and kind of get a good feel of what type of player he's going to be. But I was just like, man, I wanted to wait because, you know, the hype started building and everybody talking about the nation's sack leader. So for me, when I got a chance to see him that first day, I was kind of wondering why he was kind of, it seemed like he was kind of getting off a little bit slow, but oh my gosh. And day two, it was almost like he heard me like, hey man, I got you, big boy. I'm going to show you what time it is with this get off, man. Day two, he just put on a show and that dude got out of there like Jermaine Johnson said, hey, y'all seen enough. I've done enough. Y'all go holler at me in the top 15 in the first round.
Makes sense, man. It's again, you were there when it happened. The memes are going bananas. The other edge rushers or the defensive line, I know that years ago, Jarvis, we always joke around that they fell in love with Rashid Hageman at the Senior Bowl. What do you think? Is there somebody that we should fall in love with down there that could be there, if not first round, second or third, or we don't have a third round, later in the draft?
You know what? There's a guy that you should definitely keep your eye on. His name is David Walker, 6'2", 260. FCS school, Central Arkansas. The guy is just so disruptive, almost 50 tackles for loss in his career. And when you think about David Walker, he's the reason why he stood out to me is, like I always, me and my homeboys always joke about, yeah, man, we'll put these jumper cables on you. And, you know, when you think about that, like he has that. Like he does that in a run game. Like when they had the inside drill, I just saw he was out there on the edge lining up against one of the offensive tackles, man, and you just see him just come off. And when he puts his hands on you, that tackle just jumps. You just see his shoulder pads just jump out of the way. So, yeah, David Walker is a guy you should definitely keep an eye on because super productive in college, obviously on the FCS level, very consistent, had double-digit sacks 2 times in his career with Central Arkansas. So, yeah, he's a guy you should definitely keep an eye on.
Yeah, look, Jarvis Davis with us here. Shamar Stewart out of A&M, I got some people down there, and they were saying, yeah, man, big dude. But not productive when it comes to sacks. Jarvis, you know me. I gotta see something out of you, man. You can't just be a big guy and an edge setter and not have numbers. 1.5 sacks? What did he do this week at the Senior Bowl?
To be honest with you, man, he was a guy that I was kind of concerned that was being thrown around in like mid-round, right? Was Mel Kiper in his draft, right. 1.0 out of a million. He said the Falcons were going to take him at 15. I was like, okay, let me see. So, you know, what I saw from him on tape was a guy that's a 5-technique type guy, a guy that, you know, doesn't play that well in space, and he kind of leaves a lot to be desired when it comes to pass rushing and executing those moves to be able to get to the quarterback on a consistent basis. So, and it showed in his numbers. Yeah. But, however, like you can tell that the dude has been training because he was out there trying to throw all of the gypsy-do moves, lacrosse chops and spins and everything, man. He was trying to throw everything, throw the kitchen sink at those guys. And he was productive. He popped several times right down there in Mobile, especially in one-on-one. So I feel like he's a guy that, you know, he has the traits, right? 6'5", 295. Like, that's that, you know, when Jeff Obrick talks about being 4'3", 3'4"-ish, Like, those are the type of guys that you can do that with, right? You can have them slide in that three technique, and you can have them slide outside, you know, on the edge in the six, you know, in that four, in a 4-3 base. So even our front, he can kind of fluctuate between those two. So those are the type of guys that concern me, Duke. So I'm like you. I'm like, okay, yeah, you have the traits, but, like, the numbers have to back it up too, right? So I feel like he's a guy that I don't know if he can come in and make an immediate impact. I would kind of stay away from a guy like Shamar Stewart if it were me making the pick.
Damn right. Jarvis, music to my ears. Former 92.9 alum. It's our man Jarvis Davis, a defensive lineman for Albany State, ESPN Plus broadcaster. Joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Yeah, Jarvis, I got to have the proven piece. You feel it of the dogs. You feel that Mykael Williams is the better piece? I mean, we know what he brings to the table. Or do you feel that Jalen Walker would be the guy that's the right fit?
See, man, I'm all about versatility. Like, now I'm about to give you some coach speak. I like Jalen. I like the guy like Jalen Walker. I love Mykael Williams. Don't get me wrong. Like, the size, it's hard not to fall in love with. But when you're talking about, like, what makes more sense, what guy has the more potential to come in and make an immediate impact, because that's what I'm all about, man. I need immediate impact guys on defense, like IID. Like, you're talking about best player available, BPA. I'm IID this year. Immediate impact on defense. That's what I'm looking for. I don't think Mykael can come in and have an immediate impact like that. So I'm going for a guy that's versatile. He can solve some issues for you at the linebacker spot, and he's multiple, right? You can have him play stand-up, and you can have him come off the edge as well. So Jalen Walker would be my pick if you're saying, hey, Jarvis, you got to bring in the Bulldog this year, which I'm sure a lot of Falcons fans are saying, hey, you need to bring in the Bulldog this year. Bulldog on defense. So, yeah, Jalen Walker would be my pick.
You just said something that I think is very important as we head towards the spring for Falcon fans, and you know, it's a word that's being thrown around, but you gotta lock in on this, and that's versatile. When you're talking about versatility, and I can move you inside, outside, I can have you set the edge, or I can have you come off the edge. All right, so how many of those guys did you witness this week? Because to your point, if you just want to go size, okay, those cats are there. But I need versatility. I need guys that can give me multiple things, especially when we go different sets and different packages, Jarvis. How many of those guys did you see that you feel are worthy of looking at?
Oh, God, when I tell y'all, this is a guy out of Ole Miss, Jared Ivey, 6'5", 6'6", 285, just can, you know, play in that even or odd front, doesn't matter. He's a guy that I actually called a game for when he was in high school. At North Gwinnett. So, and you know, he ended up going to Georgia Tech straight out of high school, and then transferred to Ole Miss. And he was one of those bag boys that Lane Kiffin brought down there at Ole Miss.
But hey, yeah, Jarvis. He ate the dogs up.
They ate them, Carl.
Like, I know
that was a money. That was a money game. That was a money game for him, Princely, and Walter Nolan, the inside, the defensive tackle out of Ole Miss as well. So those guys, they ate those dogs up. In that particular game. So, yeah, Jared Ivey was the one that really stood out to me just from a – if you're looking to get bigger, if you're looking to say, hey, man, we need more size and more athleticism, we need guys to be multiple, yeah, Jared Ivey is one of those guys that really just stood out to me.
Love it.
I know we don't need quarterback. We got that covered. But anybody does, because we've seen some good and some bad play. It's hard to make what you read out of some of these practices, both the Shrine Game and Senior Bowl. Anybody look exceptional under center?
Wow, that's a great question. I saw a lot of inconsistency, to be honest with you, when it comes to the quarterback spot, right? You have, you know, a guy like Jackson Dart who, you know, he started to get a little hype, but there was just, even in like in the one-on-ones with the wide receivers and the cornerbacks, wide receiver would make a move and shake up the DB, and then the quarterback couldn't make the necessary throw. Or if it's running back versus linebackers, running back makes an excellent move, boom, breaks them off, and then the quarterback doesn't necessarily make the throw. So I feel like, you know, Dart is the one that was the most consistent, but there was just a lot of inconsistencies up and down the chart for me from a quarterback spot that just didn't really make me say, hey, you know what, this guy might need to be a guy that you need to take a chance on.
Jarvis, man, it's going to be an interesting spring, to say the least. We still have, you know, pro days and workouts and all that stuff with the combine to come. And we may see a combine darling along the way, right? And I hope that that's not all. I want guys, and you said it, guys that are versatile and that can play and give you multiple opportunities to keep them on the field. And listen, this Senior Bowl, there'll be some diamonds in the rough, guys. But I do think the guys that we talked about this week, Jarvis, at the edge specifically, all have first-round talent and first-round labels on them. It's just going to be who's there when the Falcons decide to pick.
Absolutely, man. This is – there's no reason, there's no excuse for Terry Fong not to be able to get a guy that can put his hand in the dirt on third and long and get to the quarterback. It's loaded. It's up and down the draft, too, not just in the first round.
Right.
There are some guys that can put the quarterback on the ground. All you got to do is do your research. By the way, I did.
You silly.
You just do your research, Jarvis.
I got a chance to see Thomas Dimitroff down there in the Mobile, Alabama. You know, he kind of looked at me. He kind of just moved out the way and said, "All right, sir, I'm sorry. Let me get out your way." I was like, "Yeah, you better move that
day." For those who don't remember, Jarvis asked the question, and we played that soundbite a million times. Dimitroff, very dismissively, if you do your research. Real quick, speaking of research, we got to get a corner. Carl and I were banging the drum all offseason that we were not impressed by that defensive back room, anyone not named A.J. Terrell. I know we like Clark Phillips, and I don't know, he's just undersized. He loses matchups. Any corners? Anybody that would be maybe you could take a flyer on that you saw to play DB and could start?
Yeah, a guy named Quincy Wilson. He's a guy that – here's the thing, man. One thing I've always said about one-on-ones and wide receivers, you know, just playing with guys that are wide receivers that are always, you know, they always talking trash about one-on-ones and everything, like when they have a clear advantage because they can essentially run right over right that one to run. And the reason why I said Quincy Wilson, Wilson is a guy out of the cornerback out of Louisville. He's a guy that was able to make plays on the ball like several times. Like he had an opportunity to get three picks in one day. And he was just – that's the type of guy that the Falcons need to play opposite A.J. Terrell, because here's the thing, man. I say this on my podcast on Locked On Sports Atlanta. I say it all the time. I'm tired of them spinning the wheel on the corner opposite of A.J. Terrell. It's just every time in the spring he's like, all right, who we going to bring in to play opposite A.J. Terrell? So they need to get a guy in there on a rookie contract that can be start for you, because at the end of the day – with this whole Kirk Cousins situation and the whole money situation, not that being up in the air, and then you got several veteran guys on your defense side of the football that you got to make a decision on that you can free up a lot of space, you know, from a contract standpoint, from a salary cap standpoint, like you have to get young and cheap on defense. Mm. You have to figure it out on that side of the football.
Great stuff, Jarvis. Appreciate you, man, stopping by. And we look forward to seeing you soon. Great work this week at the Senior Bowl. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
That's it. David Walker, the edge out of Central Arkansas. That's one of those names you can put on a post-it note and see if it happens on draft weekend.
All right, guys. Lots of info there. Coming up, though, we got Yeah Man, No Man. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Come on out and hang out with us. This hour is brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. It's Friday. Coming up, Michael Money Harris, our center fielder for our Atlanta Braves, is going to stop by. We're going to get back into our conversation about Trey Young not making the All-Star team. Egregious. There are many adjectives that I could use.
I will say, Stephen A tremendous travesty.
It really is. It really is. And we dove into why, and some of this has nothing to – 90% of it has nothing to do with Trey. We'll get back into that conversation.
Hey, man, we're live at Twin Peaks here in Kennesaw, as Carl said. It's still raining out.
It is.
I mean, it's coming down like cats and dogs. Just real quick, shout out. We mentioned G Money, Gordon, good friend of ours, and doing a great job here for us. I want to give a shout to his son, Reese. Who I haven't seen since he was a little whippersnapper. Just congratulations to the family. He got accepted to Morehouse.
Oh, congratulations, man. That's terrific.
And
that's terrific.
Got to live there, of course, in the dorm. So I think G Money will be doing some overtime.
Yeah, man. Trust me.
You're going to pay for that.
Trust me.
But congratulations to Reese, man.
Yeah, that's
He's
great.
Now a Morehouse man. You will not be able to tell him anything.
I love it. We also are going to talk to Steve Coonan coming up next hour, so stay tuned for that, guys. And, again, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Right now, let's find out what Turtle's talking about with Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, it's Friday. We're hanging out at Twin Peaks. What's going on, man?
Well, here's the thing. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Okay.
sometimes you can't teach an old dog new tricks for 15 years and it's keeping you out of a deep playoff run. According to Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman was on his podcast, which he does. It's very good, by the way. And he says that when he was watching the Pittsburgh Steelers defense this year, it looked exactly the same as when he played them in 2010.
Oh, I believe it.
And he says that Mike Tomlin and his staff have failed to make the necessary adjustments to evolve their defense to the modern age. Yeah, man, no man. If that's true, could that be what's, quarterback play aside, could that be what's been holding them back from getting back to the promised land?
Wow.
Adapt or die.
Well, what's the irony for me is it's still a Super Bowl-ready defense. It was at the beginning of the season. It was throughout the course of the season. They were a playoff team again. And, guys, let's be honest. I'm not arguing what Edelman is saying just schematically, because what has happened is traditionally over the years, right, when it works, you don't go away from it. So you hire coaches that believe in the same thing that you believe in. And I don't think that's the case with Mike Tomlin, as he's brought different defensive coordinators in. The problem is, guys, they don't score points. The issue with the Steelers is not defense. Give me any of those guys. Give me Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt. Give me any of those guys. It's they don't consistently score points. They haven't the last few years. They didn't this year. Guys, they went on a 5-game losing streak to end the season. Why? Go look at how many points they scored at the end of the year. That is the fundamental issue they've got to get fixed.
But they were Super Bowl. They were Super Bowl level when Dick LeBeau was there.
They were, and
Dick LeBeau is legendary. We know that. And you know, you talk to Brian McFadden. I mean, he'd write a book about how good Dick LeBeau was. Keith Butler in the middle, and then Terrell Austin took over in 22. So if you do feel, if you want to give Edelman some juice, there has been perhaps a fall off. They've got some of the elite players. They always draft well, but I'm with Carl. They just don't score enough points, man, period. And Pickett was a disaster.
He was a disaster. He was a distraction. He could have been a positive for them, and instead he took a lot of these moments to make it about himself.
They would have been better off in hindsight, Chris, because we've talked a lot about this draft. As we just talked with Jarvis, it's a really good defensive draft. It's about a two and a half quarterback draft that you feel good about. And some guys, whether it's just hating on Deion, and that's why some of these experts are crapping on Shedeur Sanders, I don't know. Cam Ward certainly looks like he's ready for the next level. But point I'm getting to is they pushed it. Pickett was not even a first-round pick in any other draft. They saw him in Pittsburgh. You figure they scouted him better than anybody. Yeah. They've been better off just doing basically letting Roethlisberger go and bringing a free agent in.
Chris, so they beat the Baltimore Ravens at the Ravens' height this year, right? 18-16. 18-16.
And Lamar had a couple of mistakes in that game, too.
We held them at the beginning of the season. Do you guys remember what the score was? Because I know we've been through a lot, Falcon fans.
Yep. 18.
18 points.
6 field goals.
First game of the season. End of the season, they lose 5 straight. Here are the Steelers' numbers. 13-17, 10-17 playoff game. That ain't going to get it done. So that is what they've got to get fixed. And ironically, that is on the shoulders of our former head coach, Arthur Smith, who is their OC.
So Julian Edelman, pipe it and direct your criticism where it belongs.
Yes, but here's the thing. Schematically, they do look the same because they've always run the 3-4. They've not gone away from what they've done. Players have changed. Mike mentioned the coordinators have changed. The scheme itself has not necessarily evolved, but that ain't why they're not winning.
He was asked to do a little self-scouting, and he did. And I thought he made a good metaphor. Tom Brady reflected on his first season in the booth, and this was his quote. If an NFL playbook is a Mount Everest of information, a single NFL broadcast is the entire Himalayan mountain chain. There isn't enough time, energy.
Himalayan?
Himalayan mountain chain. There isn't enough time, energy, or oxygen to cover it all. And that, for me, has been the other exciting part of the challenge, figuring out how to clearly communicate as much valuable information as possible in a short window.
TV's different.
Yeah.
It's different. And for Tom Brady, the challenge is, you know what he's saying? I got all this stuff running through my head, all these experiences running through my head. What really matters in this moment that I can communicate to the audience that they care about versus what I think is really cool and, oh, I remember that story. And oh, that's what he's going through. That's why I think, Mike, we're getting the rigmarole of what we're getting from
him. Well, I mean, Greg Olsen can give you an anecdote and do it in 15 seconds. He can tell you something in two segments. Play continues. Okay, you get the replay. And then Greg picks it up, but he can give you something. Levity, what do you always talk about? Levity and brevity. And Tom Brady sits there, as we said, he can't interview the coaches. He can't be at practice because he's minority owner with the Raiders. So he gets stuck, as I said to you last week, these generalities. Yep. You know, here in a championship game, everybody's got to be pulling in the same direction. Yeah, whatever. I mean, thanks for nothing. So, yeah, I'm not impressed with Brady. I always knew that, he was going to get his shot. But this ownership thing has kind of handicapped him from having the anecdotal stuff that Romo gives you about, like we talked about, knowing what Buffalo was going to try to do in short yardage, how Kansas City is going to be prepared for it. That's all from the interaction Brady's not giving you.
It is. I just feel like he's got a lot going through his head. He's got to compartmentalize and learn, and this takes time, what's important to the audience and what I can give them and not, that reminds me of my Super Bowl experience, and then right. You get this long, drawn-out story. It's like, bro, that had nothing to do with that third down.
I just thought, we said this earlier. We maybe expected, because Tom Brady's excellent at everything he's done in his career, that he was going to come in, hit the ground running, and reinvent it. And he just sounds like another jock. Not bad. Not terrible. I mean, it's not terrible, but it's not great. He just sounds like any other athlete making that transition. And I got to be honest, he's not even close to Olsen, not even close to Romo, not even close to Aikman. And they got him on the hook for $350 million. And I also thought, Carl, if they did any of those dummy broadcasts where you watch film and
they did.
Well, they didn't do enough.
They did. They
didn't coach him up.
He was so intent on being ready. That was what his offseason was about. Right.
Fox executives let him down. Coach him up. Give him some hard truths.
Speaking of which, our colleague, Boomer Esiason, on his show today on WFAN, accused Tom of taking a little trip overseas. He alleges that about 5 years ago, Brady went to Turkey and came back with a new lid.
Do you remember the videos that dropped? Remember, we talked about it. There were these videos where people were saying, wait a minute, Tom Brady's hairline has moved down. And his style, how he was going very short, and all of a sudden he grew it very long. Now, take it from me, because I've had two procedures. If you are going to grow, get a hair transplant.
By the way, can I tell you, it looks good.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Right back at you, kid. But I'm telling you, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it. You grow your hair out a little bit longer to conceal some of the scarring, some of the things that happen where they take. It just makes it look less, people aren't going to know. The thing is, if you go to Turkey, there's an article on this in GQ a couple years ago. They're doing it cheaper. But there's no reason for Tom Brady to have to go somewhere.
Turkey, Tom Brady
can go to Beverly Hills.
Correct.
And get the best hair guy on the planet who does like Bradley Cooper and all the other stars. And apparently a lot of Ben Affleck, a lot of guys got the hair done in Hollywood. Why would he have to go to Turkey to do it?
No receipts.
I guess.
Can't prove nothing.
So he flies his G5 into Istanbul? It's Constantinople. No, it's Istanbul. That is a cottage industry. Yeah. That's for people who don't want to spend the money to do it right. You go to Turkey and you get it on the cheap.
Well, I will say this. And look, we could have a long conversation, and Mike and I have, about our healthcare system, okay?
Well, this is an elective.
It is. But even those in many countries are covered.
Yeah.
You can go abroad and do some of this stuff, which many Americans do.
Right.
We've got friends that have gone abroad to do some of these procedures because it doesn't cost you $8 million here in the States. With that said, again, do you – I'm not complaining about where he went and got it done, but I'm just saying, like, I understand he's not a guy that was looking for a discount, but I know a lot of Americans who are.
Now, Wolf, just to counter your argument, when I'm down in Naples, I do run into a lot of Canadians who have their knee surgery done here because, yes, it's going to be really inexpensive in Canada. You're going to wait 6 years.
Well,
that's the difference.
Mike, you wait 6 years here.
Well, no. You want your knee done, you get your knee done. You want your knee done, you get your knee done. You're not waiting 6 years to have your knee done.
You wait a long time to get major procedures done. Book one. Just for the hell of it and see what happens.
I was going to have one done until I lost the weight. I was ready to go.
Book one and see what happens. They'll tell you, we'll see you next year.
I've seen a lot of
guarantees.
Everybody talks about Canadian health care. They're all down in Florida. People got the money to get it done.
I guarantee you. They'll be like, we'll see you next year. If nobody gets an appointment right now. Nobody.
I'm not saying 6 years. I'm saying 6 months.
I don't buy it.
Let me ask you this while we got an extra minute here. Do you have more respect for a guy like Brady that goes out of his way to stay as sharp as he can looking? Or a guy like Terry Bradshaw that for 45 years now has said, screw it, I don't give a damn.
I think you own it. We talk about it all the time, right? If you feel comfortable, I should shave my head. I look like Uncle Fester.
Yeah.
I want to change my look.
I mean, but Terry, I think we forget. Like, Terry was one of – he launched Fox. We forget.
Right.
Terry in the early 90s, when nobody wanted to go to Fox, Terry Bradshaw was the guy they were promoting, and he was their guy, and he was young and good-looking at that time.
Right.
And now as he's grown with the network and become this super megastar, you're right, Terry doesn't care. Brady had the supermodel of the world as his wife. You don't think that he had some concern about what his looks were going to be? Like, I think that plays into this. I don't think Brady – go back and look at those old Brady photos. He looks like a dad bod.
Right.
He's a dad bod. And then all of a sudden, Brady now is in amazing shape, chin off the – this chin thing. What is that? And now you're telling me he got his hair done in Turkey. It makes total sense to me.
But, I mean, the best guys for your hair are in Beverly Hills. It's the Hollywood guy. But, again, if he found the best guy in Turkey and Tom wanted to save 10 grand, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd do that. But
Tom, you're telling me Tom's going to fly Delta or Turkish Airlines to go, and then he's going to wear a turban on the way back? Come on, I'm not buying it, man. And, by the way, just to echo Carl's sentiments, having interviewed Terry Bradshaw a few times, he is the nicest, most genuine dude you'll ever meet. Good dude. Good dude.
He does not care.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
It's the way God made you, right? So,
right whatever.
On. All right, Big O, we got to run. Hit my music.
By the way, I got a dad bod. I'm not tripping.
Hey, you know
I got
but
a dad
but you know what
bod.
Though?
I'm
you
just
and
telling
me,
you.
You and me subscribe to the same theory that our at least my father said it. As long as you keep your chest over your stomach, that's a starting point. If you can accomplish that, you're ahead of the game.
Look, I'll say this: this whole
and you can see your feet.
This dad bod though is getting run. I mean, these women out here like you got a dad bod. I'm like. Really? I'm just saying.
Oh, you know what?
I didn't even know it appealed
now
to
I know to get you for your birthday next year, some Lee jeans.
Yeah, well, dude, I'm not tripping. You always talk about age appropriate?
Right.
There we go. All right, man, coming up, we're going to talk about why Georgia doesn't ever have the thing that's being talked about at Texas. Find out what we're talking about next as part of our dog report.